Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take a mountain of information and distill it into those golden nuggets of insight just for you. Before we truly dive in today, a huge thank you to our supporter, SafeServer. They are absolutely crucial in helping you with your digital transformation, handling the hosting of exactly this kind of essential software. To learn more and truly take control of your infrastructure, just visit www.safeserver.de. Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine you've poured your heart and soul into building an amazing new feature for your application. You've tested it, you've deployed it, you're feeling pretty good. But then, quietly, unexpectedly, a tiny bug creeps in. Mm-hmm. It's not like a showstopper right away, but mm-hmm. It slowly starts breaking things for maybe just a handful of your users. Mm-hmm. You know, a button doesn't work, a page won't load, data isn't saving right.
Right, the subtle stuff.
Exactly. And the worst part, you have no idea it's happening. Your users are frustrated and you're completely in the dark. It's the silent killer of user experience, really, mm-hmm. chipping away at trust.
And that scenario, that kind of lurking unknown, is precisely where our deep dive topic comes in today. We're putting BudSync under the microscope. And this isn't just another tool. It's a powerful, self-hosted error tracking system. It's specifically designed to shine a spotlight on those elusive bugs and catch them before your users ever have to suffer through them, ideally.
Okay, so our mission today is to demystify what error tracking actually involves, especially focusing on that self-hosted part, right? And then show you exactly how BugSync works its magic. Think of this as your clear, beginner-friendly entry point into understanding this really crucial piece of the modern software development puzzle. We're going to try and break down the technical terms, the concepts, so you walk away really getting its value.
Yeah, absolutely. And for this, we've pulled information directly from BugSync's own comprehensive documentation and also their public GitHub repository. So that gives us a really transparent and, I think, in-depth look at what makes it tick.
Right. So let's start with the fundamental why. Why is error tracking so incredibly vital? I mean, beyond just that nightmare scenario I painted, what's the real, like, pain point it solves for a developer or a team?
That's a great question to kick us off. Because the real pain isn't just, you know, a bad review. It's the time lost, the time you waste trying to reproduce a bug you can't even properly see. Imagine a support ticket comes in saying, feature X is broken. What do you do?
Uh-oh. Yeah, you have to start asking questions.
Exactly. You ask for screenshots, exact steps, browser details, maybe their OS. You spend hours, maybe days, just trying to replicate it. And often, you just can't. That's pure inefficiency and frustration.
Totally.
And the really cool thing here is that BugSync fundamentally changes this. It gives you clear, immediate alerts the moment an issue pops up, often even before a user notices.
Okay, so it's not just a simple, hey, something broke alert then. What kind of information does BugSync actually give you when it flags an issue? Like, for someone new to this, what does context really mean here?
Right, yeah, it's far more than just a notification. When BugSync alerts you, it doesn't just say error occurred.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the exact cause, and that includes something called a stack trace.
Stack trace, okay.
Think of a stack trace like a really detailed breadcrumb trail. It shows you the precise sequence of function calls, the lines of code that led right up to that error. For a beginner, imagine a detective arriving at a crime scene.
Yeah.
And not just knowing a crime happened, but seeing all the footprints, the open doors, you know, the discarded items, everything that tells the story of how it unfolded.
Ah, okay, I get it. The sequence of events.
Precisely. And then there's the context. This is so crucial. It includes things like maybe which user encountered the error, their browser type, their OS, any parameters passed to the function, even the state of your application at that exact moment.
Yeah.
All of this right there in one unified dashboard.
Wow.
And this is critical for understanding not just that something broke, but how and why it broke for that specific user under those specific conditions.
Okay, yeah, that makes a huge difference. So for you, the developer, that translates directly into less time playing guessing games and more time actually building new stuff, improving your product. It's like having a dedicated, tireless detective for your code running forensics in real time, 2007. That's a massive relief, I bet.
It really is.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, I think, and a key differentiator for BugSync. Our sources kept highlighting that BugSync is built to self-host. Now, for those new to the term self-hosted, it just means you run the software on your own servers, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Whether those are physical machines you own or virtual servers you rent from a cloud provider. So what are the big implications, the so what, of choosing a self-hosted solution like BugSync?
Well, the biggest implication, and frankly, it's a growing priority for so many organizations, is just full control over your data.
Mm.
In today's world, with all the data privacy regulations like GDPR, CCPA, and just general concerns about who sees your sensitive info, self-hosting means your error data, which, let's face it, can sometimes contain sensitive user details or internal system stuff. It never leaves your infrastructure. No third parties involved, no complex data sharing agreements to worry about. Just your data on your servers, under your complete management.
That level of autonomy sounds incredibly powerful, especially, yeah, with all the privacy talk these days. But let's be honest. For many people, the phrase self-hosted might conjure up images of, like, complicated setups, endless config file.
Mm-hmm, the command line nightmare.
Yeah, needing a dedicated server wizard. But the sources emphasize it's easy to get started. Is that really true? And what about the trade-offs? Doesn't self-hosting usually mean more maintenance work for you?
That's a totally valid point and a really important question. Historically, yes, self-hosting often did mean a significant operational overhead.
Mm.
But what Bugsync has done and what those testimonials highlight is they've really embraced modern deployment strategies to simplify this dramatically.
Uh-huh.
For instance, Sam Texas from Simpleco, he shared they were running in less than 10 minutes with the Docker Compose up.
Wow, 10 minutes.
Yeah. And Julia Bauman from Effios also said, installation was a breeze. It just worked like a charm. The key here, the magic ingredient, is Docker.
Docker, okay, for those who don't know.
Right, so Docker is kind of like a standardized shipping container, but for software. It packages an application and all its dependencies, everything it needs to run into a single unit. This ensures it runs consistently no matter where you deploy it.
Ah, got it. So it's self-contained.
Exactly. So when Bugsync says easy, they mean you're essentially just launching this prepackaged container.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to manually install all the fiddly dependencies, configure databases from scratch, or wrestle with complex server settings. It's mostly done for you.
Okay, so it definitely lowers the barrier to entry for self-hosting. That's a huge point. But you mentioned trade-offs. Even with Docker making setup easier, you're still responsible for the underlying server infrastructure, aren't you?
Absolutely. You're spot on. That's the trade-off.
For updates, backups.
Right.
What does a team need to realistically think about?
Yeah. While the initial setup is simplified, self-hosting does mean you are the steward of that infrastructure. This involves making sure your Docker environment is up to date, managing the server resources like CPU and memory, and, crucially, setting up your own backup routines for your error data.
Right. Can't forget backups.
Definitely not. However, Bugsync's open source nature is a plus here. The community often contributes clear documentation and guides for these operational bits. So, while it requires some internal know-how, it's often more accessible and transparent than trying to manage, say, some other big enterprise-grade self-hosted tools. It's that balance. More control, which means more responsibility, but significantly reduced cost and often much greater transparency.
Got it. So for a quick taste, maybe just to evaluate if Bugsync is right for you, the quickest way is Docker then.
Absolutely.
You pull the latest image, run a simple command line, spin up a sort of throwaway instance locally on your machine.
Yeah, exactly. That lets you visit http.localhost.8000ia and log in with admin for both username and password. You can immediately see it in action. No long-term commitment needed. It's a great way to, you know, kick the tires.
Perfect. Okay, now let's shift gears a bit to the features themselves. Beyond just being self-hosted, what makes Bugsync a really robust error tracking system? One thing that caught my eye was its compatibility with Sentry's open source SDKs. For a beginner, what's an SDK, and why is that compatibility such a clever move?
Right. SDK Software Development Kit is basically a collection of tools, libraries, bits of code, and documentation that developers use to build applications for a specific platform or system. Think of it like a specialized toolbox for a particular job.
Okay.
Now, Sentry's SDKs are really widely adopted. They support a huge range of programming languages and frameworks. Bugsync leveraging these means you probably don't have to learn a brand new way to get error reporting into your code.
Ah, so less friction to get started.
Exactly. For you, the developer, this is incredibly helpful. It means reporting errors to Bugsync often just takes a few lines of code in your application. Code you might already be familiar with if you've ever looked at Sentry or similar tools. And it works seamlessly across popular languages, Python, JavaScript, Ruby, PHP, Java, you name it. It just drastically reduces the effort needed to adopt it.
That makes perfect sense. It's like using a universal charger instead of needing a different one for every device. A consistent experience. But okay, beyond just easy integration, what happens when your application really takes off? Can Bugsync actually handle a massive flood of error events without, you know, falling over?
Yeah, this is where its engineering seems pretty solid. Bugsync is designed from the ground up with scalability and reliability in mind. Our sources indicate it can deal with millions of error events per day. And get this, on dirt cheap hardware.
Millions on cheap hardware. Seriously.
Seriously. Without failing, without running into performance bottlenecks, and crucially, without running over some arbitrary quota, which can be a real pain point with some hosted SaaS solutions.
Okay. Dirt cheap hardware for millions of events. That sounds impressive. How does it manage that kind of performance? What's the secret sauce?
Well, without getting too deep into the weeds of the architecture, it seems to leverage really efficient data storage solutions and an event-driven processing model. Basically, it's optimized to ingest and process a high volume of data very quickly, pulling out the critical information without letting the system get bogged down.
Okay.
This gives you immense peace of mind, right? Knowing your error tracking won't suddenly become a bottleneck during peak times or when some unexpected surge of errors hits. You definitely don't want your error tracker to become another error itself.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Reliability is absolutely key for a system designed to detect unreliability. Okay, let's talk about the specific features then. Beyond just the basic alert, what are the core functionalities that really make a difference for a developer day to day?
Absolutely. The dashboard experience is where you really see the value proposition come alive. First, obviously there's alerting. As we mentioned, it tells you when something breaks so you don't have to wait for a user report. But BugSync lets you configure these alerts smartly. You can get notifications via email, Slack, webhooks, whatever integrates with your workflow. And you can define conditions for when alerts trigger, like only ping me if this specific error happens more than 10 times in an hour or something like that.
Oh, that's smart. So it prevents alert fatigue. That constant buzzing.
Exactly. That's a real problem. You don't want to get spammed for every single instance of a minor known error.
Right.
Which leads nicely into issue grouping. This is incredibly intelligent, I think. Mm-hmm. Imagine 50 different users all hit the exact same underlying bug. Without smart grouping, yeah, you'd get 50 individual identical alerts. Your dashboard becomes this unmanageable flood. BugSync intelligently analyzes the stack trace, the context, recognizes these are all the same root problem, and presents them as a single consolidated issue. It aggregates the occurrences, tells you how many distinct users were affected, and gives you one prioritized problem to fix. This means you're not overwhelmed by noise, but you see a manageable, prioritized list of unique problems.
That sounds like a massive time saver. You focus on fixing the root cause once, not wading through hundreds of duplicates?
Precisely. Then, when you're actively digging into something specific, there's search and tags. This functionality is indispensable for debugging. You can look up specific error events by, say, the release version of your code, by the environment, like development versus production, by a specific user ID if you have it, or even by custom tags you decide to add yourself.
So you can really pinpoint things.
Totally target it. If a customer reports an issue, you can potentially find their specific error instance very quickly and see all that context we talked about surrounding it.
That's a huge step up from just manually sifting through log files.
Oh, miles better.
And then there's source map support. You mentioned this briefly. For those of us working with web apps, our JavaScript often gets minified. What's that again?
Yeah, minified code. It's a classic challenge in modern web development. When you deploy a web application, especially the front-end code like JavaScript, it often goes through a process called minification. This basically strips out all the comments, shortens variable names to single letters, removes all the white space. It's like compressing a big text file into a tiny ZIP.
Okay, to make it smaller.
Exactly. The goal is to make the code much smaller so it downloads and loads faster for your users. Better performance.
But the downside?
The downside is this minified code is almost completely unreadable for humans. It's just a jumbled mess. So if an error occurs in that code, the stack trace points to some cryptic line number in that mess. Totally useless for debugging.
Right.
This is where source maps come in. Think of a source map as a secret decoder ring, or maybe a detailed map. It's a special file generated during the build process that links your compact minified code back to your original human-written source files. BugSync uses these source maps. So when it gets an error from minified code, it looks at the source map and instantly translates that cryptic location back to the exact file, line number, even the column in your original readable code.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which means BugSync can show you truly useful, actionable information. The error is here in this function you wrote. Not just a pointer into the jumble. Makes debugging way faster and far less frustrating.
That's incredibly helpful. Yeah, turning something unreadable back into something actionable. That's key. It really sounds like BugSync is hitting all the right notes for developers. What are actual users saying about it? Any specific feedback?
Yeah, the feedback from the community seems overwhelmingly positive. Our sources mentioned over 300 teams are using it actively every week.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some specific quotes. Mike Blesky from favorited.com, he mentioned, easily saves us thousands each month compared to some of the hosted alternatives.
Thousands a month. That's significant.
That's a huge economic incentive right there, really reinforcing that self-hosting benefit we discussed. And Bertos Bijet from RDUQ appreciated it for being more lightweight and less complicated than Sentry.
Interesting comparison.
Yeah. And he also highlighted having ARMM compatibility, which is actually quite significant for developers working with specific hardware, like maybe Raspberry Pis for hobby projects or certain cheaper cloud instances.
Okay, ARM compatibility is a good niche feature too. So these testimonials really highlight that blend of power, simplicity, and definitely cost effectiveness.
I think so, yeah.
So for those interested now, maybe thinking about getting started, how does BugSync's pricing structure work, especially for that self-hosted option we focused on?
Right, so BugSync offers a really compelling and flexible model here. For the self-hosted option, the one you manage yourself, it's entirely free.
Completely free.
Yep. Unlimited users, access to all the features we've talked about, and unlimited error events. No caps. This makes it incredibly attractive for teams of basically any size who are comfortable managing their own infrastructure and really want that full data sovereignty without adding another recurring subscription cost.
That's huge value.
It is. Now, for organizations that maybe need a bit more peace of mind or guaranteed support levels, they do offer premium and enterprise support tiers for the self-hosted version, so you can pay for support if you need it. And for those who prefer not to manage their own servers at all, BugSync also provides managed hosting options, like a typical SaaS.
Ah, okay, so they cover both bases.
Exactly. There's even a free single developer managed tier, though it has limits, I think 5K error events per month.
Mm-hmm.
And then paid teams and enterprise managed tiers for larger organizations who might prioritize convenience over the control of self-hosting. So yeah, they cater to a pretty wide spectrum of needs.
That flexibility is key, isn't it? Offering both the free self-hosted path and the managed options. Good strategy. It's also worth noting, and you touched on this earlier, that BugSync is an open source project. You can find it all on GitHub, over 1,000 stars, nearly 50 forks, mostly written in Python, you said.
Primarily Python, yeah.
So what does being open source really mean for someone choosing a tool like this? What's the benefit?
Well, the open source nature adds another really important layer of trust and control, I think. It means the source code, the blueprint of the software, is publicly available for anyone to look at to inspect.
Right, transparency.
Exactly. For you, this means transparency. You can literally see exactly how it works under the hood. No black boxes. It also fosters a community. Developers can contribute fixes, suggest improvements, report bugs, or even customize the tool if they have very specific needs. It builds confidence, especially in something as critical as error tracking, knowing it's not opaque, and that there's a community actively involved in its development and maintenance. It really aligns perfectly with that theme of control we kept coming back to as self-hosting.
Right, control and transparency. Makes sense. So wrapping things up then, what does this all mean for you, our listener? We've taken a deep dive into BugSync, exploring it as a really powerful, pretty versatile error tracking solution. We've seen how it puts you firmly in control of your data with its self-hosted model, which can save significant costs compared to many alternatives. And it makes that often frustrating process of finding and fixing bugs just incredibly efficient with its smart features, like the issue grouping and the source map support. Whether you're a solo developer just starting out or part of a larger engineering team, understanding and maybe leveraging tools like BugSync seems pretty invaluable for building robust, reliable applications today.
And this kind of leaves us with an important thought to mull over, perhaps. As developers and organizations increasingly prioritize things like data control, transparency, and cost efficiency, what role will self-hosted open source solutions like BugSync play in shaping the future? The future of software development itself? Security practices, maybe even competitive advantage. It feels like a trend that's definitely gaining momentum, and tools like BugSync are right there at the forefront.
That's a great point to end on. Food for thought. We truly hope this deep dive into BugSync has given you some valuable insights, maybe demystified a few technical terms, and perhaps even sparked an idea for your next project or just how to improve your current development workflow. Thank you so much for diving in with us today. And once again, a huge thank you to SafeServer for supporting this deep dive. If you're looking for robust, secure hosting solutions that can really empower your digital transformation, remember to visit www.safeserver.de. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.